Trevor Chalobah on his Premier League debut.
Ziyech, Loftus Cheek, wonderful footwork, and he's laid it off. Yeah, for a third goal for Hudson-Odoi. This is magnificent.
From Alonso, well, it nearly fell for Giroud. It did for Mount, and then Giroud. Yeah! Oh, what a goal! Chelsea Football Club champions of Europe.
What's up, Blues fans? Andre Carlisle here, and welcome to a very special episode of Chelsea Mic'd Up, the official Chelsea FC podcast. Today, we're reviewing everything Chelsea in 2021 for the men's team, from Thomas Tuchel taking over to the best of the best wins in the Premier League, and of course, winning our second Champions League trophy. But wait, this episode is even more special because we're reviewing this with none other than Blues captain himself, Cesar Azpilicueta. So without further ado, let's go Blues.
Thank you so much, Andre. Yes, the perfect way to reflect on an incredible 2021 with the main man, the skipper, Aspi. My friend, thank you so much for your time. It's good to see you. Let's start off with the most important question. How are you and how are the family? Hopefully everyone's fit and well.
Hi, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, everybody's fine. Hopefully everybody stays safe. We know we are facing a challenging times, and just we have to play our part and hopefully we can get through it once again. You know, I think we thought everything was nearly over, but that means that we have to stay vigilant and we have to play our part, and hopefully things can get better soon.
Very well said. Well, it's good to see you and good to hear from you as well. As Andre alluded to at the start there, we're going to look back on what's been a crazy year. It's mad to think that Thomas Tuchel, he's not even been in charge for a year. What a first 11 or 12 months it's been for the boss.
Yeah, it's been incredible. Of course, the situation when he arrived was different. We were not where we wanted to be. You know, anybody expected maybe something from us, but we fought hard. We worked hard since the first day. The manager, the staff, it's not easy, but we know that we have to keep working. We are very happy with the success that we had, but we are hungry, we want more, and that's the way we are working every day to give more happiness to our fans all over the world.
It was interesting speaking to Thomas Tuchel a little while ago, and he said one of the first people he met actually when he started at Chelsea was your good self. He said you came and knocked on the door and he said, if he's our captain, you know, we'll be okay. Nice words.
Mm. Yeah, nice words from him, of course. I just came to say hello. You know, I know that it's not easy to come at the middle of the season. Crazy hours coming into London with the COVID situation the day before a game. So, you know, it was not the easy situation, but, you know, from my position as a captain, I tried to help him, the staff, the new staff that came, whatever they need me, I was ready to help. And that's the way I think it should be, you know, all together. That's the only way we could turn things around. And I think we showed that we could do it.
Let's talk about some key moments from 2021. You know, there was that, you know, revenge over Leicester after the FA Cup loss that happened way back in May of this year. It was a 2-1 win. Then, of course, you defeated City three times, including the Champions League final. You had the big win over Leeds just a couple of weeks ago at 3-2, which was just a wild game. And then, of course, the 7-0 over Norwich. It seems like this team plays a big game every single week, sometimes multiple times a week. How is it coping with that?
It's very challenging. And at Chelsea, we know that every 3 days we play in different competitions. But the aim in every single competition is try to win. And every week, even sometimes we have twice big games. And it's how it works, because it doesn't matter against who you play. You have to try your best to get the points, because, you know, every opponent, you can get 3 points. Of course, there are big games against big opponents that, you know, people can be more excited, but at the end of the day, every game is important if we want to win trophies. So it's a challenge, and you know, it's in the DNA of Chelsea that every game you play and you step on the pitch, you play to win.
It's interesting you make that point about the DNA of Chelsea, Aspie, because I remember pre-pandemic being, when I was privileged enough to watch you guys train, you would be the first player out every single day. You like to lead from the front, don't you?
Well, it's my behavior. I've been like this since I was young, and I like to lead by example. I really believe in the work that you can do every day in every single training session. I enjoy my work. It's my passion. So every time I go into the training ground, I try to give my best. And I think the only way to perform every 3 days is by training hard and giving your best and being ready every in time. So that's how I behave. And, you know, it's quite natural for me.
I kind of wondered about the defense. It's been incredible, an incredible defense, how it's taken shape and Thomas Tuchel has put it together. But you yourself have seen your role change a bit in the team. How have you like coped with that? Because I know some players are like, you know, get frustrated when you're out starting, but it seems like you're ready when called upon. And it also seems like there's a lot of work that you're doing that maybe we don't even see on the pitch.
In a club like Chelsea, there's competition in every single position. You have to work for your position. So every single time in the training session, I had injuries. So, you know, also the teammates, they performed really well. The team won games. So, you know, it's not about individual situations. It's about how the team performs. You know, so when I've been out of the team, I just try to train hard and help my teammates in every single training session or game. And when the chance arrives, you have to show and be ready for it. So, of course, every player in every team, in every country we want to play, we are like this. And I think it's good that we think in this way, that we want to play, we want to help the team. In Chelsea, we have 25 amazing players. So the manager makes the decision and just we have to push each other to be every day better and better and then make it difficult for a manager. So from my position, wherever I am, I just try to give my best. And what I want the most is my team to win. So that, of course, doesn't change at all.
That ability to adapt, Aspi, must be so important. We spoke about the manager, your eighth manager in 9 years. Do you feel that there's always that pressure, I guess, to almost not just earn the trust, but prove yourself when a new manager comes in and maybe has a slightly different style?
Yes, it's a challenge because every manager is different personalities, different way of seeing football. At the end of the day, every manager is the same. They want to win and they want to win games and they want to win trophies. So that's the common part on all of them. But, you know, there are different ways of getting into the results. So every time is a change. I try to get it as a new way of developing myself, of how can I improve. I'm learning from them, from their staff, the way that they see football. And of course, every player, we have different qualities and the way that we play, but then we have to adapt to the manager. So in this case, we came back a bit more into a back three where I played maybe a few years ago and, you know, was quite familiar for me, and I think it worked.
With so many managers coming in, it seems like the locker room is almost sometimes like they do their own thing. You know, we see the players always seem so tight. How does a manager kind of change that? And more specifically, how has kind of Thomas Tuchel changed anything in the locker room or has?
Well, you know, the players, we don't have anything to do with the managers. You know, that's the first point. You know, that's the club decision. And, you know, we just adapt. We are the players. And when it happened, the situation like last season, we adapt and we try to give our best. Normally, when a new manager comes in, you know, players that maybe were not playing have the chance that they didn't have or others. You know, it's quite normal that sometimes some changes can happen. Others, they keep playing with different managers. So, you know, it's not all about this. But, you know, as a players, we always try to stick together. We know that in difficult moments, being together is very important. You know, the team always wants to win. It's very ambitious. And even, you know, when you draw, it's not good. We are not happy with that. We want more. And sometimes it's true that we set the standards really high, but it's how we believe that we should do it, and we have the quality to do it. So everybody push hard to win every game.
You mentioned the togetherness of the group there, Aspi. It does feel like a really tight group from the young players to, let's say, the more experienced. It feels like there's a really good bond at the moment.
Yeah, it's a great mixture from young players. Some experienced players, totally, you know, the young lads, they have showed their quality, the first team, which is not easy. We have seen many years without academy players. So we know that the step is not easy. And we have seen now that the quality is there, that they have proved already at the highest level. And I think it's very important that they feel our support, that, you know, they can rely on us, we can rely on them. It's important that everybody, we step up, even if you're a young lad or, you know, as an experienced player, that you have to to help them in tough moments. And you know, of course, we have a bright present and a bright future ahead of us.
So let's talk about what everybody wants to talk about. That Champions League trophy, right? The road to the second Champions League trophy for Chelsea. Went through Atletico Madrid, went through Porto, went through Real Madrid. Key players stepping up, Olivier Giroud, who was there, Mason Mount, of course, Ziyech, Pulisic, Kai Havertz. But for you, as Azpilicueta, what was it like to lead that team through the competition? Because it really seems like every manager and player says, like, we're only focusing on the next game. But when you know that the end prize is potentially becoming a European champion, how hard is that to do?
It was a very proud moment for myself. I was out in the semi-final in 2014. So, of course, it hurts to be just knocking the door for a final and to miss the chance. So this time, we just went, to be fair, game by game. We didn't think farther than, you know, when we started Atletico Madrid, that they might think, you know, that they were happy with the draw when it happened in December. And, you know, after, you know, it changed. And in February, I think we show our quality and we deserve to go through. So when you face that Porto and, you know, you go 2-0 up in the first leg, of course, you have more chances to go through. And the semi-final with Real Madrid, you know, that they are the kings of Europe. They have experience. They know how to win this trophy. And I think we played really well as a team, even though we had to fight until the last second. It was tough. And, you know, in Porto, I think everybody we will remember because I, you know, have honestly very, very good memories.
It was an incredible night, a surreal night. And it's one of those where it took so long for it to sink in, didn't it? Was there a point where it suddenly dawned on you that, hey, we've just won the Champions League?
Things go so fast, you know. I would like to just push the button off the post and stop for a while, you know, because, you know, the moment it finishes and, you know, you go, you get the trophy, everybody celebrating, and afterwards, you know, so it's kind of, it goes really quick. Then we had to go to the Euros. So it was, you know, after 3 days, the Champions League was over. You know, you had to prove already in the Euros that you were European champion. So, yeah, I could say that maybe when I got home and, you know, I saw my family and, you know, everybody, we had the time to see, you know, the trophy. And it was very emotional, to be fair, because I arrived here after 2012 when they won the Champions League in Munich. So always, you know, it's, of course, Munich was special, was the first one, but you wanted to experience that emotions of winning the Champions League. And we did it all together. And of course, you know, once you taste this flavor, you want more.
There were two moments that actually jumped out when you were talking about the emotion. There's a beautiful moment after the game, you and the owner pitch side. And there was also that moment, I remember when I think you were in doping and then Mason took the trophy. And I remember when we got to the party afterwards and you come charging on, right, where's the trophy? Where's the trophy? You weren't going to let it go, were you?
No. I mean, you know, of course, you know, the moment with Mr. Abramovich, our owner, was special because I know how hard he works, and he's a fantastic owner for everybody, not only with the work that he does on the pitch to get us into the best conditions to win trophies, but also off the pitch with the COVID times, and his commitment is incredible. So, you know, when he was there, was emotional to, you know, because when we won in Baku, the Europa League, he was there. And, you know, of course, you want to have more success. And finally, after 9 years for me to get the Champions League trophy again was quite emotional. And yeah, with Mason, I lost 1 hour of party. That's true. It was in the doping control with Edu, and, you know, the bus nearly left us there. We got it at the last minute. And yeah, it was in good hands. It was in good hands with Mason.
I know afterwards, you know, you have the final whistle goes, you have all that emotion. But like during the game, when Kai Havertz scores that goal, and, you know, and you're facing an opponent like Manchester City, what is kind of going through your mind? Because you have to be like, okay, we're so close right now, but also you don't want to let down at all, because if you let in a goal, it's going to be so like devastating. So what goes through your mind when Havertz scores that goal?
Well, of course, it's a great moment of happiness because you scored that goal. It's important. You can only win the trophy if you score a goal. So, but after this, we honestly, the focus was into the game. We knew that we had to have a nearly perfect game, that we had to be focused, that, you know, you cannot just be happy with scoring the goal and then you think that you have won. No, it's not like this. We had to be really focused. Of course, when the extra time arrives in the second half, you see yourself closer to the trophy. Of course, everybody was working hard, running everywhere, and you know, you don't want to get the trophy of your hands. So that was maybe the longest 6 minutes of extra time I had in my career. You know, I was hoping the ref to whistle and just to end the game.
Does it feel like you've almost completed the set? I know we've got the Club World Cup to look forward to, but it must have been such a big moment for you, like you say, to get your hands on that trophy at long last.
I have the desire to win more trophies than I can. The Champions League, of course, is one of the biggest, and you want to get your hands on that because that gives you the chance to play the Super Cup. You know, I was waiting for this one. And of course, the Club World Cup, which we lost in 2012. And, you know, it's a trophy that you don't get many chances to win. And now we have, again, the opportunity to do it. So hopefully that could be a great moment after 10 years to get the trophy.
One of the things throughout this entire year and season has been, you know, COVID situation and fans not being able to be, you know, initially when not being able to be in the stands and everything. What was it like to finally like welcome them back, to have that energy back in the club or back on the pitch during games?
It was amazing because football without fans is not football. Of course, we had to adapt. It was the only way to play football and at least to give the chance to the fans to watch it on TV. It was completely without the atmosphere of fans. It's completely different football. So I was really happy to see them back, to feel the atmosphere at Stamford Bridge. In every game that we play away, they travel with us. We share our moments. In Porto as well, we could only have 5,000 Chelsea fans, but it felt like 50,000. It was very good and completely changed the picture of the game, because when you go, you celebrate with your fans, or you have the stadium empty, of course you win, but it's not the same. So it was a great moment to have them back for that moment, and of course for the season. And hopefully we can keep having them during the season.
Very well said. It does feel like we've come sort of full circle with that, because the atmosphere, like you said, with the fans has been something very special. It feels like it's obviously been challenging, hasn't it, for you guys at the moment with the COVID situation. But how excited are you for the future and for what we can look forward to in 2022?
Yeah, we are excited. We know that we have to face the challenge of the COVID situation, which we cannot avoid. And sometimes it goes out of our hands, but we have to try to be a focus and do our job and help to get the situation under control with playing in our part the most that we can. But then we have amazing team, amazing mentality, ambition to keep winning with the money, with the staff. Of course, we are not having the best December and the month that we would like, but we have to take it as it is. We cannot change the past. What we can do is work hard for the present and the future. So every 3 days, we have a busy schedule. We need from everybody. So now it's time to hopefully get the team back again, get the wins, then have the full squad in a while. So hopefully we can have everybody back and from then on try to get the rhythm and trophies ahead of us. So we want to get them, hopefully, and we will work very hard to do so.
We wish you the best of luck, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. Really good of you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
We want to thank Cesar Azpilicueta so much for joining us. Right now, me and Lee are back, but we are joined by our pod mate, Brandon London, who's here. We're going to talk a little bit more about 2021 and the things that happened and kind of pull out our favorite moments of 2021. So, fellas, what you got?
I bet you I got the goal of the year, not because of Flash, not because of spazazz. Lee, write that down as a new word, a new
American. How are we spelling this?
I don't know how to spell it. I really don't know
how to spell it. It's like pizza with two Z's at the end, isn't it?
Yeah. We got to Google that one. But Trevor Chalaba versus Crystal Palace earlier in the year, his debut, that goal from 25 yards out, the Cobham boy came on the scene and let everybody know that he has arrived.
Shoot, overage to shoot. So, yeah! Trevor Chalaba on his Premier League debut, his first Chelsea goal. It's a beauty. It's a moment. It's wonderful.
And he has been balling ever since then. I look at it as one of those moments. Everyone's had their spot moments. But for him, being his debut and the type of goal, how it hit the post and curved right back in, that was a moment for him to say, I'm not an academy boy no more. I'm not a Cobham boy anymore. I'm a big boy. He put on his big boy boots and he shot it from 25 yards out and it went in and it let everyone know that I have arrived. I am going to be in this lineup. I am going to be a staple on this lineup and I'm going to be someone that this team can look for to make plays and to step up in moments. And that's what he's done ever since that goal. Ever since that goal, we've had nothing but positive things to say when we talk about Trevor Chalobah. And it was that moment right there, you know, like when anything sexy, when anything pretty, it was the moment. It was taking advantage of the moment to put your arms out and to say, hey, I'm here and I'm going to stay here. I want to see you two top that.
Not only was it an amazing goal because it came out of nowhere, the celebration.
Yes.
It was the best celebration that I've seen. Just the emotion coming over that kid was just awesome. That to me got me. Like, I was hype about the goal, then I watched him and my heart exploded. It was amazing.
There was that lovely moment, wasn't there, where he and Mason Mount, they just sort of hugged and it was just like, yeah. Because there was a lovely story last year. I remember speaking when Trevor had signed his new contract. I was talking to his agent, a guy called Fitz Hall, who played at a very high level as well during his career. And he was saying that last year for Trevor's birthday, they were getting messages from teammates, from friends, and Mason's was outside Stamford Bridge after a Premier League game saying, one day the two of us are going to do this together. And you know, came to fruition, which was perfect. I've not got a favorite. Well, I have got favorite goals, but I'm going to pick out a game actually. And Trevor was very instrumental in this. It was the Juventus game, the 4-0.
Oh, and it's loose and it's hooked in by Trevor Chalobah. He scored again. This is his first ever Champions League goal. And it comes against one of the most famous names in European football. Rupert James here. Oh, he thumped it in. Brilliant from Reece James, who can't stop scoring. Ziyech, Loftus-Cheek, wonderful footwork. And he's laid it off. Yeah, for a third goal for Hudson-Odoi. This is magnificent. Well, the kids are more than all right. They're the best around. Oh, it's managed to come through to Ziyech too. Played it in first time for Timo Werner to make it four. What a result this is.
And obviously Trevor made his first Champions League start in that game, opened the scoring, but was on the score sheet with a couple of his good mates in Reece James and Callum Hudson-Odoi with Timo Werner scoring the fourth. Just an incredible performance. And to put it into perspective, it was Juve's biggest ever Champions League defeat. And Chelsea didn't just beat, they dominated, didn't they? It was a phenomenal performance. It was an incredible atmosphere at Stamford Bridge that night, as those Champions League evenings often prove to be. It was one of those nights where everything seemed to click. It was brilliant. Much more of that, please, as we move into 2022. I mean, we obviously spoke at length, Andre, didn't we, with Aspie about the Champions League final. And we could talk about that for hours on end. But for me, I think, the standout towards the tail end of the year, Chelsea 4, Juventus 0. How about yourself?
For me, I'm going to take us all the way back. I'm going to take us 900 years ago, back to February 2021. Oh. And we're going to talk about our round of 16, the leg one tie versus Atletico Madrid. We were dominating that match. I think that was, to me, that was kind of the match and the performance where we were like, hey, we don't want to say it too loud, but we got a chance at winning this thing because that was a dominant performance. Problem is we hadn't scored yet. And it was after the 65th minute, and it was just like, all right, we're not really worried about Atletico right now. Like, we just need to make sure we make this count. We get the points, we get the goal we need. And Olivier Giroud, shout out to him, in the 68th minute, hit a bicycle kick out of nowhere.
From Alonso, oh, it nearly fell for Giroud. It did for Mount, and then Giroud! Yeah! Oh, what a goal!
What a finish, what a great goal. So well timed. You're right, Oblak's at full strength and still can't get anywhere near it. That's a great finish.
Which was just amazing. And then there was that weird period, right, where you're happy and then you're like, oh no, everybody's kind of standing around. They don't know what's going on because it's being reviewed. Then you see it and you're like, oh, okay, it was the Atletico player that touched it first. So that means it counts. And so it was all this, like, how much of the rules do you know? But you're also trying to be excited, but you don't know if you should be excited. to me, that was it. That was it. We scored that goal. And then it was like, okay, we can actually do this. And actually, in that game, if you remember, Chelsea allowed zero shots on target from Atletico.
Yep.
So to me, that was a whole performance that was like, oh, we can really do this.
And on top of that, Andre, we had 677 passes. They only had 397, you know, 64% possession for us, 36% possession for them. So and I see what you mean. Like in a game like that, where it's like, oh, we're dominating. Oh, defense is dominating, but we still can't score. You get that type of goal. Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm sure somebody spilled beer on somebody else at a pub.
Might have spilled beer on myself.
It's been a year, man, from meeting you two and meeting Emily and then going on the tour and meeting all the Chelsea fans. This year has just been a year of emotion, you know, but it's a good thing, you know, to go through the roller coaster ride of success and adversity and being able to see guys triumph. You see in the storylines as well. People love storylines. Lukaku coming back, Timo Werner fighting through different things, Jorginho with the big penalties, taking big shots and big moments, Reece James back on the pitch. It's just been a year of not only have you excited for 2021, but to have you excited looking forward to 2022 as well.
No, I think that's spot on. I think much is made of the difficult end of the year. And we spoke to Aspie about the fact that December hasn't really worked out as he or his teammates would have obviously liked. But let's put things into perspective. Let's get everybody back fit. And I'll tell you what, 2022 looks to be, as you rightly said, Brandon, an exciting proposition, doesn't it?
Couldn't have said it better myself. I'm excited for 2022. We hope you all are. We want to thank Cesar Azpilicueta for joining us again on this episode. It was absolutely amazing. Remember that you can find anything and everything on Chelsea through the Fifth Stand app. Make sure you download that. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and tell your friend. And I'm a channel Brandon London. Tell a friend and tell a friend and tell your mama we want blue flags flying high all across America. Brandon was hype about that.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. See you next week for another special edition of Chelsea Mic'd Up. Let's go blue.
Let's go blue.